when you think of your beliefs, you're sure that they're absolute truth, aren't you? They're my beliefs, they're truth. But if you look at the antonyms, the words that mean the opposite of belief, you discover that one of the words that means opposite of belief is truth.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And oh my goodness, it's my pleasure to be with you here another Friday night, 7 p.m. I'm not home in the Pacific Northwest. I've got a nice lake behind me right now with a few palm trees. So I decided to set myself here and share with you from here. As such, I have some great tea. I have the jasmine white tea again. I just love it. When I'm traveling, it's a little hard to make that homemade almond milk that I like with the chai that so many of you hear about. And what are you guys doing this fun for this weekend? I'm just, you know, I'm down here. I'm enjoying the warm weather. Goodness sakes, we've had an unusually strange winter in the Pacific Northwest, and all of a sudden we got this incredible cold streak. So I'm down here enjoying it while my friends are sort of texting me like, no fair, no fair. So I hope you're having fun. And tonight, I've got an amazing guest. We're going to do a little different topic than we normally talk about. And so I'm so excited to have Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. And he is the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And Dr. Lieberman is a pioneer in the fields of light, vision, and consciousness. And he is the author of numerous books. He was originally trained as an optometrist. I always fumble over that word. Sorry, Dr. Lieberman. And a vision scientist. His life changed in 1976 after a miraculous healing of his eyesight, leading him to a deeper understanding of the light and science of life. We're going to find out more about his bio after all the breaks, but I want to bring him on right away because I'm so fascinated by this topic. Dr. Lieberman, tell us a little bit about that incident in 76 that I'll say opened your eyes.
In 1976, I'd been wearing glasses for about 9.5 years. And I got intrigued with the idea of, could we reduce our dependency upon glasses? Onto this idea was because I noticed that the world's biggest epidemic was eyesight deterioration. And hardly anyone was born with eyes that didn't work well. And so I was beginning to get very concerned because what I began to notice in practice is patients come in year after year after year, and their eyes continue to deteriorate, and the care or the recommendations they're given, which is glasses or some other form of treatment, doesn't actually deal with the causative factor. It deals with the effect of the problem. So the problem continues to worsen. So each year, someone's eyes get worse, as most eyeglass wearers realize.
Yes.
I was one of those, and I was already on my perhaps 8th pair of glasses. I decided to do things like reduce my wearing time, not use them at home, lowering my prescription. I was investigating a lot of different things. And then something occurred that really, really shifted my life. I had been meditating since 1971. And I went into my daily meditation practice. And somewhere in the process of that meditation, Jacob disappeared.
Wow.
Exactly what occurred. But there was no awareness of self. There was just, it was as if something was noticing what was going on. And whatever was noticing was aware of me sitting in the room meditating. Everything was crystal clear, not just crystal clear optically. The mind was quiet, and there was just a sense of knowing that pervaded the whole space. It just was, everything was clear about what was being seen and what was known. I don't know how to explain it beyond that.
Wow, it sounds marvelous and fascinating, though.
Yeah, well, I also, there was no way of determining where the seeing was occurring from. It seemed to be almost holographic in nature. And when I opened my eyes after this meditation, my eyesight was crystal clear. And prior wow. to when I looked at the eye chart without my glasses, all I could see was the big E at the top of the chart.
Yeah, here too.
Yeah, so being trained as both an optometrist as well as a vision scientist, I was stumped. I had no idea what had occurred. So it was a Sunday, and I decided to drive myself to my office. My license said I needed glasses to drive, but I was seeing so clearly that I put them on the seat next to me just in case I was stopped. I could see all the license plates, the street signs, the billboards. It was quite amazing. And then I got to my office. I sit in my chair. I'm 20 feet away from the eye chart. And I can read all the letters, one line better than 2020. So then I kept switching eye charts. Every eye chart I put up, even ones I had never seen, I could see way down to the 2015 row. I had no idea what had occurred, so I decided to examine myself in terms of my prescription to see if there had been any change there, because I was trained to believe that as your eyes deteriorate, your prescription increases. You become more nearsighted or more farsighted, or you have more astigmatism. I was nearsighted with a significant amount of astigmatism. So I thought, well, let's check if there's been a change. So I put some lenses in my phoropter, which is the device that is put in front of a patient's eyes to examine them. And the lenses I put in made everything blurry, so I couldn't see anything at the beginning. And then I start to change the lenses gradually, like I would with my patients, until I got to the clearest lens. I did that for the right eye, the left eye. And then when I came out from behind my instrument, thinking that perhaps the instrument would say no prescription, nothing, because I was seeing 300% better. But to my amazement, when I came out, the prescription in the machine was almost identical to the prescription in my glasses.
Yeah, you, wait, so this is strange. Yeah, so,
you know what I said. I was seeing 300% better. I was reading 300% better, but there were no changes to my eyes.
And so, oh, wow.
What do you mean we see with our eyes? Well, this is what I was trained to believe. Yes, we see with our eyes. But this direct revelation that I had almost 42 years ago led me to realize that there's something else involved with the process of seeing. I didn't know at the time whether it was the mind or what, because this was 1976, but I knew that I had tapped into something that I had never read about, and I wasn't aware of anyone who had written about this.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm stunned here.
I'll tell you the most fascinating piece of it. That was almost 42 years ago. I'm 70 years old now. I've never had a pair of glasses on my face since that day. For distance or for reading, and I spend all day working on computers and so on, driving my car. I just did a West Coast book tour where I drove from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco and cities that I had never been in. I guess what I'm saying is I'm as amazed at this experience, and so is my eye doctor, and all the eye doctors that have seen me over the years, as probably your listeners. And the point of sharing this story is not that Jacob Lieberman did anything. I didn't do anything. This occurred all by itself. I think the most important takeaway from this is that a moment of direct experience, when I say direct experience, I don't mean that I had an experience. I mean that something occurred that was not occurring through my ideas, through my beliefs. An epiphany, you could call it, or a revelation. An instance of that occurring might have the capability to revert our system back to its default setting, to its original setting.
Wow.
Maybe what graced my life in that moment was something similar to what graces a person who has a spontaneous remission from some disease that they're suffering from. I'm not exactly sure, but what I am absolutely sure about is that this is a real possibility. And I spent years investigating, trying to figure out, was there a place in the mind that could be accessed that would allow me to understand this a little bit better so that I could share it with people and help people through the sharing. And what I discovered is that this incident gave me a clue as to what it is that is noticing or witnessing the life that we're having. And I realized that seeing from this place is very different than seeing through our ideas. So let me explain a little bit more about that, if I can.
Yeah, absolutely. I am curious, though, with when you say ideas, one of the things you mentioned early on was you were coming from your, trained from your beliefs, or trained, and this is what you believed. And I'm wondering if that's what you mean by the word ideas. I want to make sure that we cover this too, because I'm fascinated by, does our belief system play into this?
You see, beliefs are something that all of us are aware of and we talk about a lot today. People say, oh, well, that's just your belief system, or you need to change your beliefs and so on.
Mm-hmm.
If you put the word belief into a thesaurus, you will see that it is synonymous with thinking, idea, concept, and theory.
Oh, really? I wouldn't put that there, but okay.
That's what the thesaurus will tell you. Now, when you think of your beliefs, you're sure that they're absolute truth, aren't you? They're my beliefs, they're truth. But if you look at the antonyms, the words that mean the opposite of belief, you discover that one of the words that means opposite of belief is truth.
Oh, I believe it. Because to me, a lot of times when people will be talking about what they, in air quotes, know, I'll say, how do you know that? And they'll spout out a belief. And I'm right. Like, no, I asked you how you knew, not a belief. and then they're dumbfounded. They don't know the difference.
I'm glad that you asked this question, because it is critical to everything we will be speaking about. You know, in the Bible, somewhere in the Bible, Jesus was quoted as saying, the truth shall set you free. But most people have no idea what this means, because we think there's your truth and my truth and another truth. So when I speak of truth, I speak of something that is unchanging, something that does not see from this point of view or that point of view. There is an aspect of our humanity that witnesses from that space. It is not what we call our mind. That which is noticing the activity occurring in what we call the mind. So for instance, most of us are aware when we're thinking, or what I call worrying, or when we're in an internal conversation. But we seem to not notice that the reason we are aware of it is because something is actually observing it.
That, good point.
That observer or witness has no point of view. It doesn't talk. It doesn't have desire. It doesn't see from one place or another. It merely notices. It's a field of awareness, if you will. And what I realized from this initial incident in 1976 is that that is the origin of the seeing, and that is also who we are, our essence.
Wow. Now, we need to take a quick commercial break, guys, so hang on with that thought, our essence, because this has me fascinated. I've always been into this idea, and I've shared many times on the show, guys, about this idea of when I observe through my body language work that I'm known for in the other world, shall I say, people always say, well, how do you do that? And I come from this place of just filing it away, and isn't that interesting? And that's the witness, that's the observer that Dr. Lieberman's talking about. So we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned, because this is fascinating.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E. com. Thanks. See you there.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee, and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we've been talking to Dr. Jacob Lieberman. He's the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And he has just been sharing this fascinating story of how he had this transformation in his eyesight, which then has led him to understand parts of the mind. And now he was sharing with us about this essence. And let's pick it up from there. I hate this when we have these hard breaks, but let's pick it up from there.
What I'm sharing is that we have been conditioned to believe that we are this thing we call my mind. So it's my point of view, my ideas. Look at what I came up with today, what I thought about. I can change my mind. And everything is built around that. But from my direct experience, it's actually something slightly different. And that is, and as I said before, the only reason we are aware of this activity occurring in what we call mind is because our true essence is actually noticing it, witnessing it. And the difference between the two is that the witness notices from a place of non-duality. It does not see it as this or that or right or wrong. It just notices it. Whereas the mind is built on duality. Now, to help clarify what the difference is, when one is experiencing life through their ideas, and if one is graced to come to this space where they uncover their essence, the best way I can describe the difference is to share with you what two very renowned sages said during their life. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus spoke about this place that I'm attempting to describe. He said, when you see up as down and down as up, when you see the outside and the inside the same, when you see a man as a woman and a woman as a man, then you shall enter the kingdom. The great Zen patriarch, Sengsten, the third Zen patriarch, about 1475 years ago, wrote my favorite piece that I've ever read. This is the first verse. The great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences and hate are both absent. The world is clear and undisguised. Listen to that line. When love and hate are both absent, everything is clear and undisguised. Make the slightest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. If you wish to see the truth, hold no opinions for or against anything. To hold what you like against what you dislike is the disease of the mind. When the deep meaning of things is not understood, the mind's essential peace is disturbed to no avail. So Jesus was speaking about a state of non-duality, which is the key to the kingdom. Sengsten was saying exactly the same thing. For him, the kingdom was the great way. That the great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. There is something profound about that middle place. And you spoke of, I think the name of the show was the autoimmune hour or something that you had made.
Yes.
So I want to share with you why this is so important. The whole field of psycho, neuro, immuno, endocrinology, or mind-body medicine, as it is often referred to, is based on a very simple discovery. Every belief becomes a state of biology. All of the perceptions that we identify with as my belief is then mirrored in our biology. The great Candace Pert, prior to her passing, spoke about this in her book, Molecules of Emotion. Candace was a dear friend of mine, and we had many discussions about this in the 80s. And the thing that I posed to her is, this is what happens when we have a point of view. But what happens in that instance when there is no point of view? What happens if the observer is observing from no point of view? And she didn't know how to answer that question because that information is not known. But based on the experiences I've had in my life, these profound experiences, my sense is that a moment of entering into that middle road opens up a whole new world of reality that may impact our health and wellness in profound ways. But even if it doesn't, it will alter our life in ways we can not even imagine.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That's so profound. A couple of points that I wanted to share was, we have had numerous guests over the 4 years we've been on the air about the mind-body connection and understanding how past traumas childhood experiences, all of those things build up to the point where they do become physical manifestations in the body, and how those can play into whether we heal or not, or whether we thrive or not. And I find this so fascinating. And one point that you had is, like you were saying, the point of view. I am a word nerd. People who've been on this, here at the show before, know that I'm such a word nerd. And what came to mind when you were talking about having no point of view, well, if we just take that word literally, similar to the idea when you say that guy is a pain in the neck, and then all of a sudden you get a pain in your neck, a point of view means that you can only see one direction. And that's fascinating to me. I'm enjoying this so much. Oh my goodness. So let's continue. Sorry there. I'm just bubbling over with, oh my goodness, I'm totally mesmerized.
Well, I'm glad it's exciting for you, because it's incredibly exciting for me as well. You see, where all of this really leads to is the recognition that the same intelligence and animating force that is moving the planets, changing the seasons, moving the tides, pumping your heart, breathing my lungs, is animating everything in our life. And because this occurred to me instantaneously by itself, I never had to intend anything, work on anything, do anything. It literally came free of charge. And if the shift was permanent in nature, it led me to recognize that that's the way life actually works. And so as I investigated how the body works, I came to be reminded of a very simple fact. There is nothing in our physiology that is designed to initiate action. Everything within us is responding to something that is moving it in a certain direction. The heart is not deciding how it should pump. Something is actually animating all this, and it's the same intelligence that's animating everything. So let me give you a very practical example. If you go out into the forest, you'll see creatures like bears and deer and all kinds of microbes and so on. You find something very fascinating. The bears don't freak out because they wake up one morning and it's snowing and they forgot to go out to Target to buy an overcoat. They don't go through that, because months before the weather changes and we go from fall to winter, something is cueing every cell in their body 24 hours a day, so that those cells continually are orchestrating their internal function and then synchronizing themselves with Mother Nature, so that they are in total harmony with life. So that as winter is changing externally, everything within that creature is changing internally, so it's always dancing fluidly. There's no shocks in it. Winter comes and it's already there. All creatures, bar none, respond the exact same way. So do trees, so do plants. The question is, what is it that's cueing them? If you go to the Bible, the Bible speaks of this creative force. It refers to it as God. And it says that this God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at the same time. And then it says, by the way, this God is light. If you go to a physicist and you say, what is the nature of reality? Where does all this experience that we have emerge from? And they say the most fundamental energy is what we call light. Light is an infinite field of potentiality. Now, most people think they know what light is. You step outside and, of course, that's light. But actually not. You see, light is totally invisible. It's not a thing. It's formless. It's not any sort of a form. So what we experience when we step outside is a perceptual phenomenon called brightness. We do not see light.
Oh.
By day, we experience light as brightness, and by night, we experience light as darkness. But we're not seeing light. We're just seeing something that our perceptual apparatus has translated, an energy that has been translated into something that gives us meaning. So what I'm sharing is this. So the Bible speaks of this God as light, this creative force. The physicists speak of the ground of reality as being this energy called light. In fact, one of the most renowned theoretical quantum physicists who has passed away, a man named David Bohm, he said, all matter is frozen light. Light is the potential for everything that exists. So when you look at a plant, you go outside, and as the sun begins to rise, you'll notice if you photograph the plant, the plant literally turns itself to be in the optimal position with light, because light is not only 100% its nourishment, but it is also guiding the total growth and development of that plant. Whales, every year, the humpback whales travel 10,000 miles from Alaska to Maui, Hawaii, where I live, to give birth. Interestingly enough, they have no maps. They don't know how to access Siri on their iPhones. They don't have GPSs, but they travel in straight lines, and regardless of environmental conditions, of currents, of weather, their path never varies more than 1 degree. What's guiding them? What's guiding birds that travel thousands of miles on their migratory routes? What we now know is that not only do our eyes detect and respond to light, but every cell in the body has eyes, and those eyes are designed to detect and respond to light. And this light they're responding to is called photons. In other words, this is not visible, it's not even in form. The eye, the physical eye, for instance, can detect and respond to a single photon of light. That is the far reachings of the field of quantum physics. What that means is we are designed not for hindsight to be 2020, but for foresight to be 2020, because we are designed to detect and respond to the formless before it is rendered into form. So people use words like, oh, I had an intuition. I had an insight today. Oh, my belly brain bubbled up something. I had a flash of whatever. It was a synchronous event. These are all words that are describing some aspect of our humanity that is responding to these subtle signals of light that cannot be seen. So when someone has a precognition, essentially their system is tuning into something that is not visible to many of us. And this is why Jonathan Swift famously said, real vision is the ability to see the invisible.
Which is awesome. And we need to take another quick commercial break. We'll be right back. This time just really flies during this time, but we'll get back with Dr. Lieberman on this topic after we come back from the commercial break. I would love to know more about how do we train ourselves? Maybe it's not the right word. How do we release ourselves? Might be a better word, but we'll be right back. Do you want to be a better leader? Have better relationships? Become more self-aware, be a better communicator, Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're here with Dr. Jacob Lieberman. He's a pioneer in the fields of light, vision, and consciousness, and the author of numerous books, including Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And he's just been sharing all these fascinating ideas about, I'll say in air quotes, reality and what we believe to be reality and what is not reality. So what had me fascinated about that last segment was so many parts, but just to choose one of the many fascinating ones, when we were talking about how, I'll say, other plants, trees, bears, etc., are aligned or attuned, aware, whatever the word we want to use is, maybe all of the above. Yet as humans, whether it's trained or what we've forgotten the way, whatever it is that what's happened, what has to happen for us to be able to reattune, realign, reattach to that natural, the way that it's supposed to be, which we're not doing.
We just have to be graced by a moment of insight and recognize that there's actually nothing for us to do. So let me see if I can explain. In the East, they have an expression. I think it's wei wu wei, and it means doing without doing. Now, of course, if I use the expression non-doing in the West, you'd say, oh, that's just a couch potato. Not getting anything done. Because we don't understand something. We're not breathing ourselves. Something is breathing us. And that animating force is moving us, just like it moves the whales, the birds, the plants, the trees, and so on. But we will never know that from our conditioning unless we actually have an experience that brings us to a new level of insight. Mine was that my vision cleared all of a sudden, and I realized, oh my God, it takes no energy to do this. I then spent years working with children that were labeled as learning disabled or that had attentional difficulties. Well, the label was killing them because they were brilliant. The only thing is, they were trying to learn. The trying was impeding the learning.
Wow.
Because the system is a field of perception that's continually learning. But it doesn't have to do anything to learn. It's a free of charge process. It's just continually experiencing things. You see, what we call experience, and let me call it light, is continually upgrading the software of our humanity. So when you sit on your computer every so often, Apple or Dell or whatever kind of system you have, they send you a little software update. You download it, and now you've got the most current system. Well, the only reason we have that technologically is that because that's a reflection of what happens in our life. Except it isn't an occasional thing. That's happening every microsecond of our existence. Our body is continually upgrading. You can call it transformation, or you can call it evolution. It's all essentially the same thing, and it is occurring free of charge. We're living at a time where everyone asks the same question, well, what do I have to do? If there was something to do, my dear friend Ram Dass would have written a book called Do Here Now. But he didn't. The book was Be Here Now. So then we look at that phrase and we say, well, then you need to be more present. Well, as soon as you say that, that also has a component of doing something. You have to be more than you are. That's a very fascinating concept. So let's talk about that for a second. We often hear the expression, it caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely, if ever, ask the question, what is the it that's catching our eye? What I have come to discover is that even though we've been conditioned to believe that we're looking for life, in actuality, life is looking for us. And it's looking for us in order to guide us so that we may fulfill our purpose in being. Let me explain. Does an apple tree have a purpose? Absolutely, to create apples. Does it have to do anything for those apples to be created? No. Light provides rain, the soil provides nutrients, and then there's this thing called light, which lets it know exactly which way to go and gives it its full potential. Now, that apple tree could go to India, sit at the foot of a guru, have therapy for many, many years. It'll never create bananas. It's not created. Its purpose is to create apples. Humans think that we're fruit salad trees. We can just do and be anything. We just have to change the remote control we call our mind. Couldn't be further from the truth. Each of us has a nature. It's very clear even at the time of our birth. We have a certain way of being which has to do with something about our contribution to life. How do we know what our purpose is? It's probably what teachers used to say when they said, oh, Jacob knows it by heart. Knowing something by heart doesn't mean we've memorized it or worked at it. It's something that's natural for us. And what's natural for us is the kind of fruit we're here to provide. So what I'm saying is there's something that is guiding that process in all living things. And when we use the expression, it caught my eye, what you recognize is it's not the eye looking for the light, it's the light looking for the eye. This is why Goethe said, light created the eye as an organ with which to appreciate itself. So when the light grabs the attention of the eye moves reflexively, which means no energy is being used. It's an involuntary movement that takes it to that which has called to it. In that moment, when the light and the eye become one, and there's a state of congruency and coherency, that instance is presence. That's That's the instance when the directive is received for moving in a certain direction. Another word for presence is inspiration. That's the instance where we receive something that breathes, not only breathes us physically, but breathes excitement into us to move in a certain direction. When we become aware of that, two things occur, because that awareness occurs with the conscious mind. The two things that occur is the conscious mind first wants ownership. So it says, look what I just came up with.
Yes.
Of course, it received that gift free of charge, because inspiration is the result of a quantum leap. It's not something we thought up. It's something that came to us in order to move us in a certain direction. The second thing that the mind does is when it gets excited by inspiration, it begins to move, which is called implementation. And that's how things come to being in the world. Einstein was once interviewed, and the fellow said to him, how did you come upon the theory of relativity? And Einstein laughed. He said, oh, that was happening while I was playing piano. The point I'm making is these things come to us rather than from us. And so the point about that is that so often we hear today, oh, you have to make things happen. And if you know the secret and you choose properly, then you can do this and you can do that. Well, I don't know much about that. That has not been my experience, so I cannot speak about that. But what I have found is that without that inspiration that finds us, there's no movement toward implementation. And so if we're trying to make things happen out of nothingness, we end up with desperation. But when the inspiration comes, which is free of charge, it takes no effort to move us. There's a sense of excitement and epiphany. Oh my God, I've come to a new awareness about something. And in that sense, it's effortless. There's so much energy. There's so much excitement. It's like falling in love. When it happens, there's nothing you can do about it. When it doesn't happen, there's nothing you can do about that. But when it happens, when you fall in love with a person, a situation, a new discovery, it sets you on fire. And that is what allows us to bring forth what's exciting to us.
Absolutely. And we're up against the clock. And actually, I blew past that last commercial break, folks. We'll be right back and we'll hear just a final thoughts and inspiration from Dr. Lieberman. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and today we're here with Dr. Jacob Lieberman. He's the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. He's just been sharing with us amazing thoughts and things that I'm just going to have to take in a while and let it sink in and mull and stew around in there. This has just been awesome things that I had not heard before that are bringing new possibilities to my mind. And I know instead we've been talking about letting it come, letting it, instead of fighting for it, just letting it come. So in the last few minutes that we have, Dr. Lieberman, please share with us a couple things, some final thoughts, and also where we can find your book and more about you.
So the final thought, these are a couple things. First of all, don't believe anything that I said. And second of all, don't disbelieve anything that I said. Just allow it to sit there and see where it takes you. If something inside says, "Oh, yes," then it's something you already know. It's merely a reminder of something that's already known in your system. And if something says, "No," then allow that to be your guidance, because we must move according to our own guidance in our life. So that's the first thing. Practical. Notice what's catching your eye and allow it to take you. Notice the part of the mind that when something catches your eye says, take care of it tomorrow. I'll prioritize it. Oh, I'll call them back later. I'll pay the bill at the end of the month. There's a reason that things grab our attention at the moment that they do. And the reason is very clear. That which is bringing that to our awareness in that moment is the same force that's causing the sun to rise when it does, and to set when it does, and the seasons to change. So the timing of things in the universe is absolutely precise at levels we cannot imagine. So when it comes, it's because that is the instance. And if we just allow it to take us, things don't get backed up. And when we begin to notice what is looking for us, all of a sudden the chatter in the mind all by itself begins to sit, you know, at the back of the oven. It's no longer at the forefront. So to give you an idea, I have done more than 2,000 public presentations in the last 40-something years. I have not prepared once. I come in empty-handed, and something else just begins the process. Now, someone can say, "Well, that's irresponsible," and so on, but I don't know what people in the audience needs. Something does.
I've had that experience myself where I just call it, it was like a download. I don't know what else to call it.
In every second of our life, we are receiving a download. It's not just once in a blue moon. It's happening continually. So notice what's catching your eye. Allow it to take you, and your life will be your meditation. Since our meditation, our life becomes the most potent that we can possibly share. As far as you said about where people can learn more about this, my website is Jacob Lieberman, and that's L-I-B as in boy, E-R-M-A-N.org, O-R-G. And they can access Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of those, their own independent bookstore from the site. They can follow us on Facebook and so on. And if they go to the events page, they can see where I'll be speaking. That's the only public service.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. Awesome. Everyone, thank you for being here. And join me next Friday night for another Autoimmune Hour. It's 7 p.m. Eastern time every Friday night. And if you haven't had a chance yet, go over to lifeinterruptedradio.com. and sign up for Transcribe Tribe. I think we're down just to the last couple that we have to do. We've got them almost completed, 160 plus episodes now. So you can go over there and get the transcript as well. And as always, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.